for me that's alive. So happy Father's Day to my dad, right? But above all, he's the father of all fathers. The father of all fathers, and he's our God, right? Don't we want to appreciate him even one more time? We just want to say, Father, we worship you even today. We appreciate you for your goodness, for your love, for your loving kindness. Amazing Jesus, how we adore you. I switch on to Jesus, but Jesus said he and the Father are one. Oh, Lord, Father, Lord, we just bless you. Why don't you just lift up your heart and lift up your heart to him and tell your Father, appreciate the Father of lights. Appreciate the Father of lights in whom there is no variation, no shadow, no turning. He doesn't change like shifting shadows. He is consistent. When he loves you today, he loves you tomorrow. He loves you forever. He does not change like shifting shadows. There's no turning. We will lift up our hands and our heart to the Father of lights. The Father of lights. Father of lights, we worship you. That's what the book of James describes him. He's a Father of lights. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. When the Bible says he's a Father of lights, you know, all of us here, you know what? We are the light of the world. And he is light, and he is the Father of lights. So go on and shine forth as we just give him glory and we just praise him. Thank you, Father. We give you honor. We give you praise. We adore you, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, we give him praise. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yeah, so it's good to be here again. The last time I was here was November 2021. Yeah, so I didn't come at all to the U.S. last year, but this time around I'm back, and I'm so thankful to you, Pastor Melissa and Pastor Randy and Pastor Melissa. Thank you. My heart is full of gratitude that you have me back again. Every time a leader opens a door, they are allowing the the move of God to come in, and so we just thankful. So like Pastor Melissa said, I have been here for some weeks now, for several weeks, traveling in different parts of the U.S. And so it's already been a very, very busy time. Now I arrived in North Carolina a few days ago, and I'm just believing that God is going to move and touch us all with the message that he has for us today. Amen. So thank you again. And also I like to, you know that it's good to be a grateful person, right? Yeah. Right? It's good to be thankful. So I want to, thank Janine here and her husband. I want to thank Janine and her husband, David, for hosting me at this time. Very thankful for that. And it's also good to see Angela, one of my students in the School of Ministry. And Janine is one of my students too. So I grateful for all of you to come and for you to leave your home and to come here and to come and hear of a word of the Lord. I'm, thankful for that. So I'm thankful to the Lord who also gave me a message for you. So I just want to encourage you to just open up your heart, right? Yeah, open up your heart to him to receive all he has. So be like a sponge. You know what a sponge is? Be like a sponge that just wants to receive and take in everything. All right, don't let anything be wasted. So a Father's Day, I thought to myself, being a Father's Day, I've got to give a message about the Father. Anyway, because you know, that's the thing. When you're preaching around a certain time, you build your message around that time. When I was preaching on Pentecost weekend in Maryland, I built my message around that. And preaching on the Father's Day, I built my message around the Father. And then, but within that, there were specific words that I believe that the Lord has for me to actually share with you. And so let it really bless your heart today. One of the things in this message that the Lord gave to me was, you know, this, what happened, this, a few days ago in my spirit. I was in my room, and in my spirit was just crying out from the depth of my spirit. It wasn't like conscious. I wasn't consciously wanting to say it. But my spirit, I was crying out, Abba! 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 Over and over again in my spirit. And what does that mean, that word Abba? I mean, even Jesus, he cried out, Mark 14, verse 16. What did he call God? He said, Abba. And he was at a time in his life when the things were in his heart was so, when you see Jesus, the Son of God, you think, oh, he's strong all the time. But the moment when he had to go to the cross was the most difficult time of his life. Then he was there even in that garden, and he was sweating drops of blood. And in his spirit, he cried out, Abba! Oh, if you will just let this cup pass over, but nevertheless, let your will be done. So it's actually the spirit of Christ inside of us that cries out that word. Because the Bible said he sent his spirit into your heart, the spirit of Christ. And it's that spirit of sonship. What is that spirit? It cries out, Abba. And as I was crying now, and I was believing right now that it's not even only for me, that my heart is connecting to many, many hearts, right? Many hearts even in this church. That in your heart, that Abba is a connective cry of intimacy. Oh God, my Father, Abba Father. But it's a cry even in our hearts that our spirit is crying out. Even when there's moments of desperation within our hearts, but I want to tell you that the Lord sees it. Because when we cry out, Abba Father, even when Jesus, the Son of God, when he cried out, well, I don't want to say that Jesus was afraid, because I just can't believe that. But however, it was a very uncomfortable time for him. And there was a fear that was trying to tag itself to him. Don't go to the cross. Don't do it. There was a fear that was trying to come upon him. Don't do it. The moment of separation, somebody said that was the hardest thing. That at that point in time when he knew that the time was going to come, when he is going to carry the whole sin, it was literally going to become sin. And that moment of separation, do you know everything Jesus went through, he experienced, when the Bible says he died for us, he actually took an exchange. He took the separation that we could have suffered. Can you imagine how horrible that was? In a moment in time, that separation, he took it that so that you and I will never be separated. And all the things, the things that must have tried to come upon him, and he had to cry, Abba, Abba. So I want you to connect, all of you. Let that cry in your heart. Let your heart cry be, Abba, Father, right? What is the significance of that? He is your Father, and you are one with him, and an intimate cry with him, right? And so there were many other things that I was crying. So restoration. So right now, even I just pray right now for those of us who are feeling like, oh, disconnected to that heart cry of God, to that time of intimacy. The Lord wants to restore it. The Lord wants to restore it. So I cry out. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for every one of us who is here today experiencing a type of disconnection for whatever reason. A disconnection of intimacy to the Father heart of God. And so, Lord, I pray right now for a restoration of that connection right now in the name of Jesus. That from the depth of our spirit, oh God, Lord, bring us to that point, oh God, where we know that you are our Abba Father. And on this historic day where we are celebrating the Father's Day, we say, Lord, you are the Father of all fathers. And we don't want to lose that disconnection with you. And we pray that even right now, in the name of Jesus, every single one who is sitting here this morning or this afternoon, I think it's still morning, every single person who is sitting here this morning, that our heart will receive a restoration of what it means to have you and to know you as our Abba Father over everything, over every situation, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says that you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we will also be glorified with him. And he seems that spirit inside of us, like I mentioned, bears witness with us that we are the sons of God. And then something happened when you got born again, when you got saved. I know something powerful happened within my life. Just think about your testimony, even as I'm sharing this message with you. You know, when this spirit of sonship comes into our heart, do you know that one of the things it does is to deliver us from fear? And so I want, and I'm going to ask you this morning, begin to think within your heart, what are you afraid of? Because the spirit of Abba, right? God is love, right? We were singing that song, our fears are drowned in perfect love, right? So the spirit of Abba comes to deliver us from fear. So I want to share with you, you know, my own journey, how I came to Christ. But sometimes you are delivered from fear at a certain point and you start living victoriously in God. But sometimes within your life, attacks of fear tries to come again. And as I share this, I believe there's going to be deliverance. There's going to be deliverance from the bondage of fear, from the spirit of fear that tries to choke you to the point that you don't even know what to do. What can I do? How can I step forward? So I knew what it was to be afraid. Well, of course, I wasn't saved at the time. But I'm also hearing the word transition. There is a transition that actually takes place the moment you got saved. And if you did not feel that, I'm going to do something today by the Spirit. When I was sitting there, I could see myself asking everyone to open up their heart and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Because there was something Scripture says that was supposed to happen. Right, it says that when we come to God, we receive power to become the sons of God. But there's so many who are born again and they're still enslaved to fear. Right? Could it be that we have not received it, the power? And so when I use the word receive, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, tarry where in Jerusalem. He said, until you will receive, he used the word receive. So many times when we think of, the power, when we think of Acts 1:8, we immediately think of, yes, the power is going to come, but we don't think of the word receive. Receiving means, you know, the power could be flowing all over this place, but there could be blockages in the hearts of certain people that are not allowing them to receive it. So what is that which maybe you got born again, but you never actually received it, even though Christ came inside of you and in his power, but for some reason you have not received the fullness of that power. And there is something about the power of Christ that sets us apart. There is a power that comes from Christ that sets us free, that delivers us from fear. And so I was, of course, a very fearful person when I was not yet saved. But there was a reason for it. I was bullied. I mean, maybe some of you have heard my testimonies. I was severely bullied when I was in school. From the time I was a child, from I was 5 years old, I was physically, mentally, emotionally bullied. And it got to the point that I became severely depressed. You know, slapped, beaten up, mentally, physically, just name it. I became so depressed and I was full of fear every single day. And I started to even hear voices, because you know what? The Bible says fear has torment. So it opens up doors. As a child, there were doors that were opened. And I began to hear voices speaking to me, telling me to self-harm my body, to hurt myself when there was no one at home. And I started to self-harm my body. And I even wrote a note where I wanted to plan to overdose and to commit suicide. Right? And I was a teenager at the time. But when I was 15 years old, somebody, my older sister, she came home from school. And she was glowing literally that she's received Jesus and she's saved. So I went to her and she shared the gospel with me. And she told me about how God wants to be my father and that Jesus wants to be my savior and my Lord. I see some kids here, honestly. I love seeing kids in the meeting. And then so she told me, God wants to be my father if I allow Jesus to come into my heart. So what happened? I said to myself, let me give it a go. I went into my bedroom and I knelt down by my bed and I began to pray, asking God to forgive me. I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to be my savior. And what happened? I received the power. I could feel the power. I'm telling you, the testimony of what happened, when I said that prayer, Jesus, come into my heart, I felt his power. I felt his light. When I was sharing, James say, he calls him the father of lights. In fact, when I opened my eyes after saying that sinner's prayer, the whole room I was in was flooded with light. Why? Because the Father of light came into the room. Jesus, the Son, who said, behold, I am the light of the world. Whosoever will follow me will not walk in darkness. I say, Jesus, and the light came. And then I was delivered. What was I delivered from? I never self-harmed again. I was delivered from the spirit of depression. And all of those stuff, it went away. Do you understand? So what happened there? The Father came. Jesus, when he came into my heart, I received the power of God. Do you understand? I received the power of God. The power delivered me from depression. It delivered me from shame. So begin to think about it. What does that power do? Right? He delivers you from all of that. So the power of God came. So I remember even during COVID time, when I would be going in London, sharing the gospel with people, and people were so afraid. I remember this one man in the stores, as I walked up to him to talk to him about Jesus, and he was so afraid. But when he prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart, he told me, he said, you know what? You know what? When I say that prayer, I'm trying to speak with the... yeah, but you know there are different slangs, right? Like in England, there are different pronunciations. So there's not one pronunciation. So you have different accents. So he was like, you know what? You know what? You know what? You know what? When I said that prayer, Jesus came into my heart. He said, I feel power come inside of me. I feel power. And this is somebody who was not used to things like that. He felt power. And to him, he became fearless. It's like, he wasn't afraid anymore of COVID. And at that time, COVID was very fearsome. But something happened when Christ came into him. He received it. He receives it for those who come. They receive the power, what? To become the sons of God. What does it mean for somebody to be in a different territory, a different terrain in the spiritual realm? And then you change the person's life by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That's what it means to be the Isaiah 61 generation. You become love. You become light to those who are hurting. So now I receive the power inside of me. And over the years, God had used me to his glory to transform many people's life, to bring deliverance. People have been healed of bipolar, depression, or all manner of mental illness, sickness, physical sicknesses, to the glory of his name. But I want to share a very recent one that really touched my heart, right? And then that was it last year? I think it was sometime last year or early this year. So what happens when you become the carrier of this, the power of God that comes through the Father of light that's inside of you? Right? Other people, they need it. Right? So there were people who knew about my testimony, about how I got saved from depression and suicide. So somebody wrote to me on Facebook, and it didn't even matter that I didn't know the person, or it didn't matter because they need help. Because she knew about my testimony. And she said, Ella, please. She heard that somebody, a 14-year-old girl, a girl that was related to her in London, had become so depressed. She was suicidal and she overdosed. She wanted to kill herself. And they rushed her to the hospital in somewhere in London. She said, please, can you go to her? I said, what do you think I said? You know, of course, you know, you have to realize I'm also a very busy person, right? But I said, yes. Why was it like that? There's something about the testimony when God delivers you from something and you hear about others who are going through the same thing. Yo, there's a connection there. So I remember going to the hospital and I see this girl. I look into her eyes. Her eyes so full of pain and darkness. And I ask her, why did you try to do this? She says she felt like she had no value on this earth. Nobody wanted her anymore, and so she just wanted to leave. And as I looked at her, she was actually already saved for like a year. But as I looked at her, I just felt, you know what the Lord led me to do? Do you know the Bible says that God is love? And so there are many different times I would just pray. But there was something about her that I could feel that she needs an impartation of the Father's love. In order for her to receive, she's already been saved for a year, but she did not receive. Christ came into her, but you know what I mean. So there were all kinds of things that were blocking her. For some reason, she didn't receive the fullness of that, even though it was there. You know what I mean? Something, she was not totally open to embrace it. And so I felt in my heart, what is it that I carry? Carry the love and the compassion and the power of deliverance to set people free who have been through the same. I felt that love has to be imparted to her for her to receive. And so I held her in my arms. I hugged her. And she was so willing to be embraced. I can't remember. I think she might have been crying on me. I felt her tears. I don't know for how long, maybe for like 30 minutes. But I felt like I was not going to let, it was like she didn't want to let me go too. I wasn't going to let her go until I felt she's finally received it. So I held her in my arms and I began to speak over her. Words of love of God. Words of affirmation from the Father. You are wanted. You are needed. You are loved. Your life is beautiful. As I held her in my arms and I spoke these words of love and prayed over her, breaking every bondage and whatever it was, but really ministering very softly, right? I wasn't saying, get out! She didn't need that. Sometimes that's necessary with some people, but not in her situation. No, so we have to be very careful how we do deliverance in some cases, because don't scare people when you understand. But in some people need that kind, get out! I mean, you will know when. But I held her like quietly, calmly, prayed for her. And then when I felt that she had got it, I went and I looked into her eyes. And she was like a different person. She's finally received it. She's received it. What was her all along? She received it. The power. And I could see what happened. Immediate shift. The fear that was making her want to kill herself. The fear of being a nobody, the fear of not being wanted was gone, because now she knew she was loved and she was wanted by God. So what happened after that? Months later, she writes to me, sweet message. She's doing well. She's in church. She's doing well. She's happy. She's full of joy. And up till now, she is. Why did I share that? There's so many testimonies I could have shared, but I just shared that one to say, receive it right now. Right? The power of the Most High God, right? Just receive it. Receive it within you. And I'm going to ask you a question even right now before I say this prayer, and I'm going to share some of the other things that I'm going to share. I want to ask you, begin to think to yourself, what are you afraid of? Right? Don't feel condemned, but just ask the Holy Spirit to show you. What are you afraid of? I just shared the story of this girl. And so in my life, so when I was preparing for this, I thought to myself, out of all the experiences I've had in my life, what was one of the things that scared me the most? I'm going to tell you what it is. Right? And then so over the years, as I started to travel all over the world preaching, I will see God bring healings and miracles, and so many people were touched, revival, prophetic words, people were encouraged, and all those powerful things. And I believed in healing. But there was a time I was kind of afraid. I was 2013. I woke up one day on my bed, and I just found out that my left eye instead of seeing, like, instead I was seeing like stars, like bright, you know, but it wasn't supernatural, it wasn't angels. It was bad, but it was not good. It was not, I'm not going to say it's an angel, no. But my heart was like, what? I can't see from my left eye, what is this? I said, I bind you, spirit of what? Blindness. As if I knew, but how could I know when something like that, nobody in my family had anything like that, right? And then within the next 3 days, it got worse. My left eye became bloodshot. It became, you know, really bad. And I was talking to someone on the phone, and as I was talking, suddenly I felt like someone took a screwdriver and plunged it. My eyes screamed. I was in pain. I dropped the phone. What is happening to me? And then this is the mystery. I believe in supernatural healing, but this is the mystery of it. Like when I laid on the bed, I just heard the Holy Spirit say, go to the doctor now. But I was like, really? So God can tell you to go to the doctor? But it was the voice of God. Because you know why? Sometimes you need, you need a help to bring you to the time when you can receive by faith. Yeah. Right? And sometimes you need a diagnosis to know what to pray about. So I obeyed that voice, and I went to my general practitioner, and as he looked into my eye, he looked afraid. You know, we're talking about fear. Fear has to go today. Fear is an enemy. Fear, the bondage of fear has to be broken because it's blocking you, and it's holding you into bondage, right? And then so what happened that day? The doctor looked afraid. He said, he wrote a note, quickly, immediately go to Western Eye Hospital in London. You need to see a consultant right now. It was so bad, he didn't put me on waiting list. But still, I was thinking, really, what's happening? I went to Western Eye Hospital. They said, go today, don't wait till tomorrow. I went there, one of the doctor looked into my eye, and he looked afraid as well. Fear. He looked afraid. He looked afraid. He called another doctor, come. Give me a second opinion. And then the other doctor, he looked into my eye. He wasn't afraid to give bad diagnosis. He reeled it out like no man's business. No fear in him. He reeled out the words. Edema, uveitis, malfunction eye, like four different things. Each of them was enough to make someone go blind. When he said, all of us are, blindness, what? What are you talking about? We have to treat you. And the thing was that they were not even sure they could be successful. They could only try. So I started being on steroids. But basically, things were getting worse and worse and worse. To the point that if I was standing in a room like this, the light is too painful. What happened? One of the illness called uveitis, it makes light to be so, light feels as safe. It's a piece of glass that's been stabbing in the eye. And then so, but I had four different types, right? And so I was progressively getting worse. It was like the enemy was setting up something in motion for myself to, you know, to become blind. I started getting letters from some companies in London saying articles for the blind. The things were being set in motion. You know, sometimes the enemy can give you a demonic vision. Be careful of some of the visions you see. Yeah. If it's not from God. I had a vision. I saw myself walking with walking stick like this, blind. As I rebuke in the name of Jesus, that was not from God. Yeah. So there are demonic visions. We've got to be careful, and it's not from God. So one day I laid on my bed. After about 3 months, I laid on my bed. My head was in so much pain. I was feeling the pain. I had replaced every curtain in my home with black curtains because I couldn't bear the light. And I kept on hearing the enemy taunting me that I was going blind. As I laid on the bed, at some point, what did I hear? I heard the voice of Jesus. Jesus entered the room. So over the years, I've seen him several times, but I didn't physically see him or even his silhouette. But I felt him entering. I felt him entering. Why? Because I know him. And I heard him speak. And he said, I have healed you. But what do you think happened after he said, do you think the pain went straight away? No. The pain, she said, was. The pain was tearing through my head. I could hardly sleep in the night. But he came in. I knew he said it. So the next day, I'm not going to lie to you, that one scared me. Because the more the enemy, it now telling me, all those people praying for you all over the world, nothing is happening, which is not even true. So I had a fear of just waking up, God forbid, I just break that fear in the name of Jesus. But I was afraid of living in a world of, I don't even want to say it, but you know what I mean. I was afraid of that. But even after Jesus came the next day, I was still fearful. And he came to me. And then what will I say? Love came into my room. Perfect love will cast out fear. So in the moment of a very great torment, love entered my room. And love came to me over and over again during the week. And he said, Ella, I have healed you. And he said something. He said, know how to receive. That tells me that a lot of times God has released something to us. But we acknowledge it in our head. But we haven't received it because there's a block. And we're going to deal with that block today. He said, know how to receive. So what was the block? The block was the fear that was still there. What if Jesus said it, but I'm still feeling it. We understand. And then one day, you know what helped me? I just thought to myself, the Bible talks about Sarah. You know what delivered Sarah from fear and unbelief? She considered not the deadness of her own body, but she judged him faithful. That's what freed her. One day, she just thought, he's faithful. So I just thought during the week, Jesus is faithful. If he came into my room and he said, I've healed you, he means it. He can't lie. And so I did something that I don't advise or tell any one of you to do it. I threw away all my medication, steroids, everything that the doctor had told me. If you miss it, your eyes could just, boom, explode. The eyes could burst, God forbid. So they're using it to control the pressure. I threw it all away. I said, you know what? I judge him faithful. He spoke the truth. I received what he said. The same week, by Friday, he came to my room on a Sunday, right? On a Saturday, I remember. On a Saturday before the weekend, on a Saturday. Friday, I went to the hospital and to check my eye. The doctor kept on checking. He cried out, Allahu Akbar. He's a Muslim. He's shocked. He said, it's all gone. It's all gone. What? Yeah. Something, hallelujah. Something they were not sure it could be healed or it could be cured. But you know that what happened there? The reason why I say that, I want to ask you today, what makes you afraid? You know what? Since that time, whenever I will share that testimony, recently I was in Nigeria, I was ministering in Nigeria. I shared that testimony, and one man in the room who had a similar stuff with his left eye, he got healed. Yeah. Do you know that? You know he got healed. Do you know that when the Lord heals you like of something, it's like there is a power that comes inside of you to take you to another level, right? So what am I going to do? I'm going to release healing to everybody's eye. You don't have to come forward because it will, I have still so much. So just lift up your hand. I want to pray for eyes today. I want to pray. I want you to connect to that testimony because when I pray for the man who had the condition in his eye in Nigeria, when I prayed for him and he received the manifestation of his healing, you know what he said? He said, from the time I started to share the testimony, something in him was tearing up. It could be me. It could be me. How about me? And funny enough, it was his left eye too. So will you lift up your hand? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray right now. Eyes. I'm going to pray first of all for the eyes. Right? Anybody with eyesight problem? Before I just pray for you to receive what he has for you. So in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as I share this testimony right now, I believe that the power to heal the sick lies inside of me. And through the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I release healing by the power of the Holy Spirit. I release healing through the power of the Holy Spirit, anointing on the Holy Spirit to touch every eyesight. Every eyesight, every eyesight that is in pain, every eyesight that has problems, every eyesight that is not seeing properly. Hela tore bola se tolika, bolanda di blasa tilaya, mandaloste kolonde boom 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 ta na 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 no nasti akua, mana noste kuria la mana sota la mana, mahila itaka balahila taika, malaisi kala na maiti kalama. In the name of Jesus, I command right now, receive healing for your eyes. Receive healings for your eyes. Eyesight, 20/20 vision, I release it. Better than 20/20 vision. Let it be so in the name of Jesus. Painful eye conditions be healed. Eyesight be restored in this room, all over the room. Be healed right now in the mighty name of Jesus. So I want to minister to you as you raise up your hands, because fear and torment has to go. Because as I ask you right now, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? I'm going to pray right now. You know what it is. You don't have to say it out loud, but you know what it is. You are afraid that things will mess up in your family? Are you afraid that things will go wrong? What is it are you afraid of? Today, as we celebrate Father's Day, you know, one of the attributes of our Father is that He destroys fear. He destroys fear. All through scriptures, He says, fear not. He says, fear not. So right now, I am going to pray right now. Abba, Father, there's your spirit of sonship in our heart that bears witness that we are your children. And the Bible says that sonship, that spirit of sonship, has delivered us from the bondage of fear. Is there any fear that we are still experiencing today? Even in my heart, even in any of our hearts, fear doesn't belong to us because fear has torment. I come against fear by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against the spirit of fear. I come against the spirit of fear and the spirit of torment. That even when you sleep at night, you're like, oh, I'm so afraid. Pura la masale kuria masotoria. Demons of fear, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind every foul spirit of fear in the mighty name of Jesus by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Loose the people of God right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Perfect love. I hear the word perfect love. Perfect love. Perfect love. So also, I also pray that whatever it is blocking our hearts, oh Lord, Jesus, that will not allow us to receive this. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I decree, make way. Make way for the move of God. Make way for the move of God, the love of God, the outpouring of the love of God to be received in our hearts today in the name of Jesus. Fear, I'm hearing rejection. Fear of rejection. Fear of rejection, wounds of betrayal. Wounds of betrayal, be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed because God is love, because He's a good God. I ask today, I pray, every wounds of betrayal in our heart, make way and be healed. Be healed by the power that rose Jesus from the dead. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Right now, open up your heart right now. Father, right now, I pray. There's nothing blocking but the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Let hearts in this place, let our hearts be open, Lord. Since the day we gave our life to Christ, this was meant to happen. It says, as many as receive Him, He gave them power to become the sons of God. So right now, today, this is long overdue. I pray right now, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of Christ, the Messiah, the power that is above every other powers. The power of Christ. Let it be felt right now in every heart, even in our inner man. Today I decree, Jesus, you said, for we will receive power after the Holy Spirit will come. So today I decree and declare right now, in the name of Jesus, let there be a shift from today. Let there be a new boldness and a new level of confidence And let your people, I hear the word say, I have it. I have it. Let your people declare, yes, I have it. I have it. I know I have it. I know I have it. I know I have it. I receive it. I know I have it. I know I have it. The power of God inside of me. Receive it right now in every area of your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Ta da 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 na 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 na. I love that song. Da 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 la. Da 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 la. La da la la la. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what? Galatians chapter 5, it just helps you, it helps us to see the whole journey of coming into sonship. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Okay. Let me see. It was talking about tutors and governors. Let me see. Galatians 3. Yes. Galatians 3. Okay, thank you. Yes, Galatians 3. Galatians 4. I think it's 4. Is it 4? Okay. Tutors and governors, the one that talks about we were under tutors and governors. It's 4. It's actually 4. It's actually 4. It's actually 4. Galatians 4. That's the one. Because I know that in Galatians you have different parts that talks about sonship. But this one was the one I was talking about, tutors and governors. There's another one in 5. So, but you see, yeah, in chapter 4, we were under guardians and tutors under the law. Yeah. Galatians chapter 4. So even when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world until the time came for God to send his son. Right? So I'm coming somewhere. So you see, like, even in the Old Testament, right? In the Old Testament, you see Moses, you see all those amazing people, Elijah, all of them, without Christ, they were like, they had not come into that place. They could not come into that place of sonship, because that could only be possible when Christ comes into us and we receive the spirit of adoption or the spirit of sonship. So it was like we were still under tutors and governors. Right, until the time came, before we got saved, what happened? We were still under all kind of stuff. But when Christ comes into your heart, what happens? You receive the spirit of sonship. And so there was something that Paul said. He said that, then why are we still under the beggarly elements, right? Observing times and seasons and all of that. What do you think Paul meant by that? What are the beggarly elements? They are the things that rule over us, right? So basically, when we enter into the fullness of the maturity of sons and daughters of God, we are meant to enter into ruling and governing rather than being governed by the things that has ruled over us. So he talks about observing times and seasons, right? In fact, to be honest, we have to be careful. We have to be careful because sometimes people go to the extreme. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong if you do it by the Spirit, if you are led by the Spirit to observe, you know some of the Jewish, do you understand? I'm not, if you're led by the Spirit. However, when people go to the extreme, and they religiously observe certain days, and they actually think other days are better than other days. So on this particular day is the only day I can enter to this. I don't believe that. I believe that in Christ, every day is glorious. Right? Every day is powerful. Every day is glorious. So why observe certain times and seasons as if in other times and seasons you are in bondage, but only in some times and seasons you can, you know, walk in authority? Do you understand? Then we still live in as if we are under the tutors and the governors. Do you understand what I mean? But Christ, the Son of God, Messiah, has come inside of us. And one of the things that does is that he releases you into dominion over seasons, over times, right? Over all of those things, right? And then so you have authority and dominion. It doesn't matter what day of the year it is. And another thing the Lord was ministering to me is that sometimes we look at anniversaries of certain times, certain events, and then pain comes. We observe certain times. Oh, it was 5 years ago. It was 6 years ago that this happened. It was 7 years ago. And whenever that remembrance comes, there's something that comes, right? And then we observe this kind of stuff. I remember there was a lady that I knew that she's been like had. Of course, people need to be healed. But every single year at a certain time, when she remembers that her mother was, that her mother was dead, she went into depression. Do you think that's from God? She went into depression, right? And I know that sometimes things have caused us pain, but there's something about this beggarly element that also has to go. Observing seasons, observing times, you know, and let me tell you, some people, like when it comes to certain sicknesses, sometimes you even know how like a sickness works, and you will begin to think, oh, when is that time of the month? When is the cold season? You even say, my sickness gets worse at this particular time. So observing all of these beggarly elements, when actually we've come into a season of the Father, right? With the Father, when he says that, don't you know that because of the spirit of sonship that's inside of you, you don't need to respect those things anymore. You don't need to have respect for the things that have ruled over you. They need to tremble before you. They need to tremble. They need to tremble. You don't need to say, oh, every single time, this particular day of the month, this particular time, you know, in the night time, this always happens. I'm telling you, it's time for it not to happen any longer. Right? It's time for it to shift. Like, you know, I don't know if some of you before, I have a school of ministry. I'm the director of Harvest of the Nation School of Ministry, and I train believers in all kind of things. I remember there was one school I was doing, I believe it was the School of Deliverance. And so one of my students spoke to me on the phone, like a one-on-one, and she told me that she was always having nightmares, and in her nightmares, she sees snakes coming to her, and she's afraid. So I told her, I took her to scriptures. I said, you know what? You've been given power and authority over serpents and scorpions, right? So he almost got to the point then when she's dreading the time when she's going to sleep, right? Observing those things that will always happen is about to happen. I said, no, you should observe it differently. Observe what Christ has already done. He's giving you the power. So what did I do? I took authority. I prayed against those things. But I told her, I prayed for her. I said, receive it. You've already got the authority. Receive it. You have power over this. The next day, she wrote to me. She said she had another dream. But this time around, she did see the snake again. But she said this time around, she was stepping over them, crushing every single one of them under her foot. A season shift is what I declare over you. A season shift. Don't observe things. Oh, this is happening in my home. This is happening. Demons are here. Oh, no. Don't observe the things I want to keep you under. Right? So right now I decree and I declare that, you know, what did Paul call it? He's called it the weak and beggarly elements. So in our eyes, sometimes they look strong, but Paul said they are weak. Weak and beggarly element. Why do you observe those things? Why do you observe those seasons? Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that there will be a shift in our heart on this Father's Day, because when we truly come into understanding and the revelation of walking in the spirit of sonship, we will no longer observe the weak and beggarly elements that has kept us in bondage in the name of Jesus. So I decree over your people a season shift right now, a season shift in the name of Jesus, where we do not have respect to the things that don't need to be respected, to the things that we should have held utter disdain over, because in Christ we have entered into that relationship with you where we have power and authority over the weak and beggarly elements in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I pray that every cycle of shame, every cycle of reproach, things that come again and again and again in our life by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I command them to break off us. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And so when I share things like this, I want to hear the testimony. Because sometimes you say things like that and you say, it's not just words. The power of God is, power of Christ is breaking through and is doing stuff. I said this prayer at a church in New York. Actually, I didn't know what I said. A guy came forward and I prayed some prayer. I didn't know what I said, but months later, I saw this guy coming towards me and smiling and looking happy. Say, you were the one that came into our church and you said all these prophetic words over me that, oh, you've been going through cycles of disappointment. Now I release you into a new season. In the name of Jesus, breakthrough. He said it was true that in his life he had been suffering from cycles of disappointment. That immediately I said that prayer, things shifted and he started to experience complete breakthrough in all areas of his life. So honestly, receive these words that this cycle, by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the cycle that tries to chain you into fear, weak and beggarly elements that Christ has already given us victory over, is broken in the name of Jesus. Enter into the fullness of your sonship. And when I say sonship, you know, I can't say daughtership. I can't say daughtership, sonship. But you know what? In Christ, men and women, what? We are one. So don't worry if I say sonship. I say, but I'm a girl. It's the same thing, you know. We are all, do you understand? In Christ, no male and no female, right? All right, so thank you, Jesus. So the Father's Day, this is what happens when we know God as our Father. You understand? So because so many times we preach, most of my messages, to be honest, are about Christ and different aspects of Christ. But if we actually have the revelation of what it means to have God as a Father, can you see all of this? Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. As a God, our Father, this is what happens. Yeah. Right. And so James 1 verse 17, it talks about every good and perfect gift come from above, from the Father of light, in whom there is no shadow or turning. And this one, I heard this word specifically as I was preparing for the meeting. It was as if I could hear some people say, oh God, but you gave me a gift. Lord, I thought what you gave to me was a gift. I thought it was good. I thought this came from you. But why is it that there seems to be shadows around what you've given to me? Why are there disruptions? Why is it that this blessing seems to have sorrow to it? But the Lord wants you to know he did not add the sorrow. He was not the one who brought, because every gift that he gives to you, they're good and they're perfect because he's the Father of light. So he didn't add the sorrow to it, right? But there's going to be what God wants to do, right? He wants to reclaim, right? He wants to bring restoration, that what he brought to you, that suddenly pain came. If you will believe him this morning, just step into that place of faith. Step into that place of faith. What is given to you that is good, that looks like, wow, how did it become defiled like this? How did this become contaminated? Lord, but you told me to marry this person. Oh my goodness. I'm saying this though, I'm not married, so I'm not saying, it's not personal to me. It's not personal to me. But I'm like, you're like, but God. You told me to marry this person. Blah, 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 blah. Why is that? What is it? I was counseling somebody on the phone yesterday who was having a problem with his marriage, you know. I hope he can make it, you know. But I told him something. I gave him a testimony of somebody who has become like a good friend to me now. But years ago, I went to preach in New York. And she said she offered me her home to come and be a guest within her home. And I did. She said, when is your coming? Come and stay with me and my husband. So I stayed in their home. I had no idea that she was plagued with all kind of stuff, right? She's even in my book. The testimony is in my book, Empowered by the Anointing. So I was way back in 2011. I stayed in their house. And how did I know? God brought revelation. I was sleeping in the room one night, in that room, and I was taken in the spirit into the shower. And in the shower, I saw, like in the shower head, I saw horrible black insects around that. Of course, they were, you know, they were demonic. And the insect voices were coming out of it. And the voices were speaking, kill yourself, kill yourself. And I woke up. And then the Lord said, this woman, she's been plagued by the spirit of suicide. I came out of the room I sat on the, what do you call it, by the kitchen. She's coming out of shower at the same time. I said, I just saw this. And she said, her face went like pale. She said, Sister Ella. She said, for 1 hour while in the shower, the voices kept on circling her head, telling her to kill herself. So I told her, I said, when the Lord showed, and I didn't know, for 10 years she suffered from bipolar, schizophrenia and all of that. I didn't know. And so I said to her, I said, you know what? When God reveals this, because he wants you to be free. He loves you. Amen. So I just prayed in the name of Jesus, be free. Right? And then what happened? She really was set free. She really, one of the signs of the things that she was doing, because she had all this bipolar stuff, was that the man that she was married to, honestly, he won't do anything. But she would scream at him, abuse him and curse him, and he would just be looking like this. But their marriage was maybe going to fall apart. But after she got set free, she became a totally different person, quiet, respectful, gentle, and all of that. But you know what? From 2011, she's been medication free. No medication, completely delivered. She's shared her testimonies everywhere. So why did I share that? So maybe the man will have said, but God, I thought you gave me this woman. Why is she cussing me every day? But you know what? It was even beyond her. She was under the control of spirits that were causing her to behave in that kind of way. So there are things that God has given to you. It was not God's fault. When he gave it to you, it was perfect. But the enemy came in. So don't blame God for that. So I want to say, wherever you have blamed God and say, God, why did you do this? Will you repent in your heart? Right? It was not the one that added sorrow to it. It's not the one that added pain to it. So will you repent in your heart and say, God, help me, forgive me. But I believe that this morning I'm going to move by faith, because I've seen God do all these supernatural miracles. So I have faith for it. I have faith for you to pray, right? And I want to energize your faith even with this one more testimony. Because testimony, what does testimony do? It stirs up our heart. This was in London. I went to speak at a church in London, and then this man said, oh, you came to our church a year before, and he said to me, you spoke his prophetic word over me. And he said to me, but he said, you only remember part of it. He said, can you tell me the rest of it? Because I don't remember it. So I said, I don't even remember anything I told you. Because, you know, when you're a prophet, a lot of time when you're in the spirit, you don't remember. But he said, but what you said changed my life. So what happened? He said, what you said changed my life. And so what happened? He said that when he came forward, I spoke, he came with depression. He was very depressed. And then I prayed over him and I spoke according to him. I spoke into the core of it. Boom! I just prophesied and spoke into it. I didn't remember that I did that. But he said when I prophesied, gave that prophetic word, he was delivered from the spirit of depression. But you know what happened? The reason why he was depressed was because his son became autistic. And because of that, he was depressed. So when that prophetic word came out of my mouth, it went through into the core of what caused the depression. And his son at home received healing. Yeah. So he was so happy. He wanted to know, what was the thing I said? I said, I don't even remember. He said, what was it you said that caused all those things to happen? I don't remember. I don't remember. So why am I saying that? God is the Father of lights. He doesn't change like shifting shadows. He said there's no shadows. Well, I'm going to pray. If there are shadows that has come into your life, shadows that has come into your home, shadows that has come into your life to terminate the blessing God has given to you, to spoil and to defile and to bring pain to the things that should have been your joy. That's what the Bible says, that is God. He is the Father of light. When he blessed you, when he gave that to you, it was not his intention that there should be so much pain that will come. So, Lord, we want to say to you today that we are sorry. Even when we have blamed you and we say, God, why did you do this to me? It wasn't you, because you're a good God. You are the Father of lights in whom there's no shadow. We ask that you will forgive us for even saying those things. But right now, in the name of Jesus, even as you have shown me this, to highlight this, especially even for this church today, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, whatever curse has come into the blessing that God has given to you, so we ask that it will be removed. Curses right now, be broken. Be broken of every blessing that God has brought into our lives in the name of Jesus. And then I said, this is a specific word for the house. He will breathe on your gift and sanctify that which had been defiled and make all things new. He will breathe on your gift and sanctify that which has been defiled and make all things new. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, let the breath of God, let it move all over this room. Let the breath of God, there's something about the breath of God. In the beginning, what happened? There was a move of God. The glory of God was moving upon the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be. Before God spoke, there had to be a movement of the Spirit. So I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I release the breath of God. Hallelujah. Father, open up the heavens and release the breath. Your breath that will make all things new. That will restore. That will bring. And I hear the world shaking. Oh. Don't be afraid if it looks like initially it looks like there's a shaking. But it's the hand of God. He's moving out things that ought not to be there. Because it is time for the blessing is given to you to shine forth as the blessing that is meant to be. So right now I pray in the name of Jesus, let the breath of God, the breath of the Messiah, let it brood, let it move upon every gift that our Father has given to us. Let the breath of God move into our homes. Today I pray, let the breath of God enter into your homes. Enter into your homes. Enter into your lives. Enter into all the breaking places, all the broken places of your hearts. In the name of Jesus, by reason of this breath of life and resurrection, in the name of Jesus, I command right now, let shadows be dispersed. In the name of Jesus, every shadow move out. By the Spirit of God, I enter into your homes. And I decree that whatever shadows is locking in your homes, and in your rooms, and in your life, I release the presence and the power of God into your home right now. Exterminate in the name of Jesus every shadow that is locking around, every spirit that is moving from room to room. I decree and declare that your day has come. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We cast you out into the outer darkness. In the name of Jesus, I sanctify your marriages. I sanctify your families. I sanctify your homes. I sanctify even your bank accounts. I sanctify your resources. I sanctify your ministry. I sanctify even this ministry, Kingdom Life. I sanctify, let the breath of God move right now all over the room in the name of Jesus. Breath of God, move all over this church. Breath of God, move in our hearts and in our lives. In the name of Jesus, every shifting shadows disappear. In the name of Jesus, let the glory of God rest and abide in our lives right now. Let the glory of God rest and abide in our lives, that the blessings of God will manifest the way it should be in our life, on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Father, for you are the Father of light. And we thank you that every gift that you have given to us, it will be perfect. I'm going to finish soon. And then lastly, I hope almost lastly, it's love. How many of you love the idea of love? The right kind of love? God's kind of love is the best, right? Yeah, and God is love, right? And then God is love. And then Songs of Solomon, it says that he brought you over to the banqueting house of his, the banqueting house, for his banner over you, his love. So you're going to feast on the love of God this morning. How many of you want to feast on the love of God? So he's brought you like a feast. You want to feed on his love, right? Feed on his love. His banner over you is love. So I say there is a banquet prepared. So also this is a word for you to receive as I was preparing for the meeting. There is a banquet prepared for you just to feast on his love. Let the ocean of his love overwhelm and heal you. Where the fathers of this world had disappointed you, be healed in your heavenly Father's love. If you are going through times of doubt and need reassurance, rest in him. Receive this love. So I'm going to speak to you like, even if you're here and you know fathers of this earth can be imperfect, you know, and you've been hurt by your physical fathers or even by spiritual fathers, I want you to turn your gaze and attention to the one, because there's a banquet of love here. Receive that love, right? And be healed in your heart. In the perfect love of the Father that loves you, be healed in that. Let me tell you what I experienced about this banner of the love of God, because I personally experienced it, right? Fairly recently, I'd been ministering, and I think maybe I was kind of tired, and then I love intimacy with God. I spend time with God, and I feel his presence. I love his presence. But there was that particular week when I wasn't feeling myself, and I said to God, I said, God, I want to feel your personal love for me. I said, God, what do you feel about me? It was strange, but it was just something emotional. I knew that he loves me, but I just said, God, I'd like to feel, how do you feel about me? I want to feel your personal love. I feel your presence everywhere, but I want to feel it. And I felt his love before many times, but just that week I felt that I needed to just feel it, right? Most of the time, I live by faith. You live by faith and not by sight, and that's how it's supposed to be. He loves us even when you don't, you understand? But I didn't know he was going to answer me. But you know how he answered me? He answered me exactly what I said. So he could have said, but Ella, I love you. You should know that I love you regardless of how you feel, but he didn't do that. In the night when I was about to sleep, he came like a cloud around me. It was like soft cotton wool. It was a supernatural experience. I just sank into like oceans of his love. His love all just surrounded me. His banner over us is love. And his love just was like a banquet. It was a feast on my love. And you know what he did? He embraced me. I felt him embrace me like through the cloud. I felt him, the embrace of the Lord. And what did he say to me? Just by what he did, I knew it. You want to know how I feel about you? This is how I feel about you. You are my baby. Yeah. That's what he said to me. That's what I got from that. You are my baby, because like I felt like I was in the cloud. I was covered by the love of God, right? So he's like, yes, you are this woman that I'm using powerfully all over the world, and you slay dragons in my name. You do all of that. But how do I feel about you personally? You are my baby. I cherish you and I love you. Isn't that wonderful? And I believe that that's how God feels for all of us. Rest in that love. And that love is healing. So will you just take a moment just to open up right now and let that love, immersion of his love, let it fill this room. I asked you that day, I said, Lord, what do you feel about me? And you allowed me to feel it. And I pray right now, even all over this room, Father, will you bring us into that place of abiding in that deep, deep love. And let that love bring healing to us. Let it bring reassurance to us. Let us bring forgiveness to us. Let it remove anxiety. Let it remove despair. Let it heal all pain. Bind us together in that love, that we will never be the same. In the name of Jesus. And even as I bring this message to an end, I want to tell you something. Be the best expression of the love of God. And that is for this church, everyone in this church. Be the best expression of love to each other, right? And so I was talking about Father, the Father's love. Annie, you're a father to this house. You are a mother to this house, right? So I just bless that. You know, that rich love, the greatest thing that we can release to people around us is that love. It's a treasure. You know, that's what the Lord was trying to tell me when he brought me in his love. Even like he was with Elijah, he didn't come to him in the fire and all of that. He didn't come to me in a volcanic word. Yeah, I'm here. He came to me in soft love. He's telling us that after everything is our love that remain. Every other thing, it will end, but that love, it will remain. Right? So I encourage you, as a father and as a mother to this house, I bless you to be the best expression of love. The last time I came, I brought a different message. But today, I end with love. Be the best expression of that love, of the circle, of a place of safety where the Father's love through you will embrace the broken and the wounded, and even those that are imperfect. Right? They will feed from the generosity and the patience of your love, and they will be healed. And I encourage you, even all others, right? Love one another. Love one another as Christ has loved you. Right? Love one another. Come around each other. Love each other. Love each other, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Love each other. Be love to one another. Right? Come around your pastors. Let there be perfect love in this house. Just remember that, because when I've been going from church to church, especially in this season, I will ask God for a specific word. And this is one of the most profound words that I have for you. He's banqueting, his banner over us, it is love. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for restoration, even in this church. Let the love of God just heal and repair and bind and bring together everything that the enemy has tried to wound and to destroy in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your perfect love, for the Father's love that rests in and through us. Thank you, Father, for this message today of the Father's love. As we enter into you, we have identity. We are your sons and we are your daughter. Our inheritance, we are joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Jesus has, he gives it to us. It is ours in Christ, right? And the spirit of sonship, all right, Abba Father, delivers us from every fear. Today I decree and declare that you will see, honestly, you will testify that there is something you've been afraid of. Suddenly you will go home and you say, what? Suddenly I'm not afraid anymore. What happened? Because something was broken today. Right? Because fear can steal so many things from us. That fear is broken. The cycle, the beggarly element, the cycles of evil have been broken. You don't need to fear it anymore. The cycles and the chains have gone. Right? In the mighty name of Jesus. And the Father of lights, be reassured that the gift that he gave to you, it is good. Bless him for that gift. Stop complaining about it. Stop complaining about the gift that God has given to you. Even if there have been imperfection, even if there have been all that, today let all things become new. Begin to thank God for it. Begin to glorify God for every gift that he's given to you. Lift it all before God. Lift your husband before God. Lift your wife. Lift your kids before the Lord and say, God, thank you for this perfect gift you've given to me, because you are the Father of lights and you've given me these wonderful treasures. Right? Bless your ministry. Bless your leaders. Bless your friendships. Give glory to God. Abound in the spirit of thanksgiving. Because why? We have a Father of light. This Father's Day, Lord, we treasure you, because you are the Father of light, in whom there is no shadow, there is no turning. And we thank you even for the gift of your Son, Jesus, is the greatest gift of all. And so even right now, Lord, thank you for bringing this message. So I want everybody's eyes, even in this moment, as your eyes are closed, even as I said that last word that I said, that the greatest gift that the Lord brought to us is a gift of His Son. So I want to make a call today. I don't know if this is live stream, but if it is, if people are watching and it's live stream and people here, the greatest gift on this Father's Day is the gift of the Son, Jesus. So I want to make a call to you, wonderful, precious people. If you have never at any time opened up your heart to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and He is knocking on the doors of your heart, knocking. If you have not yet asked Him to be your Savior and your Lord, He died for you. He came principally for that. He came from above. He died on the cross and He rose from the dead on the third day. That if we believe in Him and we trust in Him, what is going to happen as He knocks on the door of our heart and we'll open up our heart to Him, He will come into your heart and He will be your Savior and He will be your Lord. And He will put inside of you the spirit of sonship. You can't have that spirit of sonship and all the benefits that I mentioned if you did not receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. So today I want to ask you, if you're in this meeting, no matter how young, no matter how old you are, no matter what your background is, if you have never ever at any point prayed to ask Jesus to come into your heart and to be your Savior and to be your Lord, but today you want to do that, I will be delighted to lead you into this perfect love of Jesus. So if that is you, I want you to put up your hand. Will you just put up your hand? If that is you, you have never received in prayer Jesus as your Savior. Oh, is that a gentleman at the back putting up his hand? Oh, you're praying. Okay, is there anybody here that you really have never opened up your heart to ask Jesus? Like I said, it doesn't matter how young you are, right? It doesn't matter. You're never too young to receive Jesus. So is there anybody here? Today you want to say, Jesus, please come into my heart and be my Savior. Can I just see your hand? All right. But I'm going to say to any live stream person watching, so if you're watching on the live stream, right, and you have never said this prayer from your heart to ask Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, I want you to say this prayer after me. Oh God, please forgive me of all my sins in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, and I believe you died for me and you rose from the dead. Please come into my heart, Jesus, and be my Savior and be my Lord. Forever and ever, I belong to you, my Lord Jesus. Amen. Will you give Jesus praise? Praise, praise to the Father of lights. Praise, praise to the Father of lights. We give praise and praise and praise. We give praise to the Father. Hallelujah. I just want us to have just a minute of just, I'm still going to pray for the sick. I will almost end with that, right? But can we just take a moment just to celebrate the Father of Lights? Can we believe He's really touched us today? Hallelujah! Whoa, hallelujah! love you. We love you. We love you. We thank you. We celebrate you. We say happy Father's Day. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we give you glory. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. 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 Oh, oh, we worship you. 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 We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. And I was led to say this prayer over you today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we've been rooted, again, the word love. This is the greatest blessing of today. The Father is all about love. That we've been rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the breadth and the height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God, with all the fullness of the Father. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. 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 And I want you to take a step of faith this Father's Day. Like I said, Jesus said, love each other as I have loved you. Right? Go and embrace somebody that you know that needs an embrace. Right? Take permission, though, because some people don't want. But you know what I mean. Someone that you know really needs love. Right? And if you need to make up with somebody, make up with them. Right? If you know. While I was telling Janine today in our house, I had a dream, and it was a ministry partner or something over the years. We've been doing ministry together, but the last couple of years, things were not the same as it was supposed to be, and we've not been. And I had a dream that there was a kind of restoration between us. And so I want to just tell you today that if there is anyone you need to make up with, broken relationship, honestly, go and make it up with the person and tell the person, I forgive you, forgive me, love me, and I love you. Because that is the greatest. When I was reading that prayer, the greatest thing I could see was love. That we will be filled with all of the fullness of God. Right? Hallelujah. So rise up. I want to pray for every sick person. I want to, if you're sick or even you want to stand as a point of contact, I've already prayed, but for the eyes. Did I pray for more than the eyes? Just the eyes. Only the eyes. Okay. So if you are sick, any other type of sickness, I don't know if you remember the last time I was here, without even laying hands, I just released healing, and there were so many testimonies. So I'm going to pray for Father right now, in the name of Jesus, for the release of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I just feel in my heart today there's such a sweet smell of restoration. I smell it. Love is beautiful. I just feel it right now, just at the end of the meeting. So right now, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for everyone who is sick in their bodies. Lord, let this seal this wonderful meeting today. Everyone who is sick in their bodies, I've just shared today that you give perfect gift that has no pain and no sorrow. Sickness brings pain, it brings sorrow. And so today, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak into any person's body here that there is any type of sickness or illness or any pain, and even that anybody we are standing up for as a point of contact. I pray in the name of Jesus, in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let every pain right now disappear from our bodies. In the name of Jesus, let every person be healed by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I command that sicknesses will disappear from our bodies. In the name of Jesus, pain disappear in the name of Jesus. Let every person's body right here be made whole in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask that the Spirit of God touches us right now. Begin to move your body. Because I command that you begin to be able to do what you couldn't do before. Begin to move your bodies. Begin to move your bodies. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I decree and declare that what we couldn't do before, I know how that feels. You know, over the last couple, when I came into North Carolina, I came into Janine's home with injured knee. And I found it difficult to even climb down the stairs. But the Lord healed me by the second day. The Lord healed me supernaturally. So I want to ask you right now, if there is, as the Lord touches you right now, begin to check your bodies. I release a healing. Father, release the ability to them for them to be able to do what they couldn't do in the name of Jesus. Elbows be healed. Hands be healed. Elbows be healed. I release healing right now into bodies, into every part of you, every contour, every part of your body that needs healing. Receive it right now in Jesus' name. Receive a pain-free body in the name of Jesus. I release healing into your back. I release healing into your bodies. I release healing to every part of you. And shoulders, neck condition. Right now, even as I said that, I felt a sharp hit on the back of my neck. On the back of my neck. Is that is you? You have a neck condition. I release healing right now into your neck. The back of your neck. I release it. Be healed right now. Be healed in your neck in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that let there be no more pain. Let there be no more pain in the name of Jesus. I release healing into your bellies, into your stomach, into your head, into every part of you. Every part of you, into your legs, into your knees. Every part of you, receive right now. Receive the healing power of God. Be restored, be restored, be restored by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. So right now, just check your bodies. Begin to move your body and let me see if you put up your hand. Let me see if you could do what you couldn't do before. Let me know if you are raising your hands or if you are praising God. Because I'm tired. I say, huh? Oh, hallelujah. Awesome. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that you could do what you couldn't do or you could feel the pain has left your bodies? Let me see your hand. And let me know that you are raising your hand for a testimony. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand if that's you. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just thank you for healing. I just thank you for healing. Let's heal that shoulders right now. In the name of Jesus, let healing fill all of that body. Is there anybody else here that you've been touched by God and you feel the pain has gone? I know there's some of you who are standing off as a point of contact. I know that, but I'm talking of if it's you yourself, and you feel that something has gone, can I see your hand up? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I even pray because if you are sick, but with a sickness that is without pain, I decree and declare that even with that, in Jesus' name, the sickness and you will go to the doctor and they will say, oh, it's all gone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This wonderful woman, I want to hear from you. What did the Lord heal you of? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Wow. Oh, wow. Woo! Video. Wow. Can you repeat what you said, Sika? Oh, did you got the video? Okay. All right. Okay, right. She wants to take your testimony on a video to the glory of God. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. She couldn't do that from a neck surgery. Lord, we just thank you for that healing for this precious woman. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the overflow of your healing and your precious blessing. Will you give Jesus a mighty, mighty praise? Hallelujah. So right at the end of the meeting, just I don't have my books, I would have loved to show you, but they are at the table. Yes, please. Because